queria continuar mesmo a chamar a prima da Kuf Kof Alef.
Acha
prima de Shar Min Achaim Vanagosam Emifiosam. What we find in research in all the other sorts of living creatures, the way they conduct their life and how they survive as far as food. In Nenin Elemes, this is absolutely not conceived. Misha Mistakelbaum, the one who looks into them, and Misboine Simone Chochmah, and analyzes and evaluates all the different elements of Chochmah. Balken Shoinemoy Samasforim, many books, as being described in many books, Bezochram, Plius, Habayis, Alabwen, they mention the wonders of Hashem. Kumoy. Like the Pesuk says, Omer le'Iyev, it says, Mitol, Mi yochi le'oyrev tzedai. Who is preparing to the oyrev? Who is the oyrev? Oyrev is a...
Raven.
Who prepares for a raven his food? Ki lodav el yeshaveyu. The children of the raven, they cry out to God. Raven is an ox that is very brutal. Develops, incubates her eggs, and she leaves. The mother leaves and does not feed the little babies, and they cry out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them flies direct into their mouth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu direct feeds them. Mama the posses is noisel of heimol achma. He gives, maybe you could shut up the noisel of heimol achma. He gives to the behemoth, to the animal, his bread to live. Now oirev ashi crow, Tilem says, and to the children of the raven, ashi crow, as they call out to Hashem. But Harbakeli, you see many wondrous things in nature, the way nature takes care of every creature, the way they have to be taken care. If you look the constellations, how the stars, how they run in the order where they have to run, achalukim betnuas, which separate between the movement of mishtanos, achalukim, and so also the luminaries. The way they are separating, everyone is projecting down his light. L'sadar inyan hakol, everything has come to one beautiful organized system. Behem yiri, you could also see misumoni acholos from the science of the ability, v'chokhmah from the wisdom, ashlot tichulei machshev sodom, which never could man's wisdom ever design and plan. Yiri l'saprom b'loshi, you get tired even explaining it with your mouth. Moshe Omer David, Olavah Shalak, David HaMelech said in Pozik, HaShemayim Mesaprim Kvoid El. Look at the sky, the heavens, as they tell you the wonders of Hashem, the honor of Hashem. Masi Yodav, in the deeds of his hand, Magid Rekia, expresses the sky. Mishara Mizmor, and the whole Mizmor as expressed. Omer says, Kere Shumay, Kumasi Zutsechu. When I look at you, skies, the deeds of your fingers, Yireach veKirchovim, the moon and the stars, Asher Kanamta, which you had established them. And all of them is full of wisdom. Umina Mufle, and what is even more wondrous, Umashen Felos Olaf Eina Odom, which the eyes of the man falls on, and Bimbiya Saboyer from all the creatures, is Allah Gdoilus, which the Kodesh Baruch Hu had created, and all the great things, is Hashemayim. The sky, the heaven. If you analyze the heaven, whenever a person will stand in the world, yire, you will see chatzia galgal, you will see a head round, a sover soret. You always see the sky, the heaven, like a head, like a kippah, like a hat. Wherever you are, you see you've been covered with this beautiful horizon sky above you. If a person looks at it through research, here he will see Kaboira Oisar Hefzai. The Kodesh Baruch Hu created for his desire in Tachlis Lecholta Vachmos Vegod. There's no end, there's endless to his ability, to his wisdom, and to his greatness. Kikashanach Naroim, as we see in Masim, when we look in, anything which has been created by the previous people in the previous generation, Nitma, we will wonder how could they do such a thing? When we look at the mission, we take the pyramids. we analyze the pyramids, we wonder, how could this people 4,000 years ago build the pyramids? And it shows us, and it's a proof to us, Al-Cheskas Gufam, physically how strong they were. Look at it, strong stones without cranes, bulldozers, how they moved them, they lifted them. How did they have such a power? The Yikras Nafsham. And you see, Yikras Ma, the dearness of the Nefesh, Yikras Mish Yokor, Roshin Dir, Lasoysam to do it, Miftzor Chozak Lafsam to make such a great, strong reinforcement for themselves. In other words, when you see the pyramids, what do you see there? You see two things. You see the physical might which they had. Second, you saw Yikras Nafsham, the dearness of their life, that they had this dedication, the motivation to do such a great thing. If it's going to be great in our eyes, we're going to enlarge, we're going to respect those generations in our eyes. Because of what? They did this little thing, they made this mere pyramid, they made this little nothing. It's an embarrassment. It's a masa hanivza, because really, why did they do it? I mean, I allocate this mushroom on the pyramids. Of course, there's other things too. Usually, you will see a very interesting thing. Anything which remained as a symbol for the future generations, what is it?
Stone.
No, I mean, but people had built it, but people had erected. You have the pyramids. What are the other ones which people had done? What other things that people have done?
Skyscraper.
Like a similar type of thing, like Stonehenge, those big blocks.
Yeah.
That
fine.
Or the Sphinx, or.
Or take it into modern times of today. What is today a symbolic act? I mean, if you look at the empires, the building which was built, I don't know how long, 90 years ago, 100 years ago. They were pretty, you know, to take the sophistication of 100 years ago to be able to build the Empire State Building, you see, those people had to a certain extent more wisdom, more power, more willpower than today, what we're doing today. You don't see it today, you don't see today this artistic in flavor, input, in a structure, as they've done it. Today you see these modern cubes, the black, the square, practical,
there's things like that today too. I mean, Trump Tower was not built.
What happened then? Today, why is it expensive? Because time is too valuable. You're not going to put in a little corner, a little shape, and put in the artistic decoration, a little stone, which one has been put in. Take any old-fashioned building, which was built 100, 120 years ago, see, every little thing has been carved, has been put in, with the plaster. There's a lot of part of the man went into that. Okay? Now, what was the motivation of doing that? What is really Yikras Nafsham? A person had invested himself in a monument, in a pride, should be left. His remnant, his memory, should be left to future generations. It's a certain pride, a certain ego, whatever. It's a human ego pride has been put into.
So leaves an impact, like a mixture. Everything was made of mixture. You had to carve out, left more of an impact. So these things, they left.
And they have themselves engraved in this product. Now, I say the pyramids is one of the most unbelievable things which might and strength went into that, figuration went into, engineering went into that, and a certain astrology figured out, and this is already for 4,000 years, and this was done for what? But what was it done? It's a burial site for the pharaohs. I mean, this ego, that the man should be buried there, they should be remembered forever. Of course, they robbed him, there's nothing left, not the gold and not his bones, and the mummies have been taken out and it's been put in museums and has been separated. But what we do see, that I say this sort of research, Kashi Yigdal Benen, if you will see the greatness, the wonders, Zamata Mizar, but they have done this little thing, so Masa Nivza, in this shameful act, the whole thing was egoistic. I said the stage of liberty, the Eiffel Tower, all these things is all memories. For what? It's ego. To show certain pride, a certain thing. It doesn't add anything to our nothing. It's nothing but the egoistic acts, and they have invested so much, have done so much, and we are wondering really that the abilities. Now how much more are we required to take down to me saying that it should be greater our wonders on the Creator who created heaven and earth, everything which is in it, without any energy and tiredness, nothing had to be invested in it, that absolute no toy and trouble, it came from nothing, not of anything. There was no reason to create, because Boch had no need to create them, and there was no purpose for them, and he created them. He created for one reason. It was created which is desire and which is wishes. That's all. Koshinemar, the apostle says, Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Lasso, the words of Hashem, the heavens have been created, Ubriach Piv Kol Tzuvam, and with the blow of his mouth, the wind of his mouth, all the regiments, all the things which is in the heavens, the stars and everything. Now what does it mean? When we analyze why one of the sites is go to visit the pyramids. People go for travel and to see the pyramids. Intervened people 4,000 years ago, why they lived, what they lived, and what did they do, and what was so important to them. And we come to, and we wonder, unbelievably, we wonder the might and the what he could do. And why did he do it? For nothing. He did it only to show the ego and to that it should be some memory should be left for them. And we wonder about him. Achas kamakamo, and we look at the heaven and earth and everything which is in it. And that was good. Why don't you wonder that? You have to go to the pyramid to wonder, to study why they made them. And we know why they made them. And to wonder, how about any little thing which you come in contact, a million things a day, and you say, everything has been done from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu, and all the things has been done from nothing, everything has been done for no might and ego, for nothing. It has been done, everything but Tzoyin Ebechefte, Zahar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How much should we evaluate that? And this is also one of the Bechina that we have to look into and to study it. And then we look Minatovis and Oda. Let's evaluate the goodness which is being given to the man on an ongoing basis.
He called us. Do you want to practically do these Bechinas? Is it Kedai to go see these things?
No, you don't have to go to see the thing unless you finish seeing everything around you and you're so hungry you want to see more. And you still grow on seeing things. But you could see your things right now. Look at the little finger. You could wonder who knows what. We come in our daily contact with everything which you come through in a natural way. There's enough to see the godless of Baira. We're never unemployed of this. You know, you go to the pyramids to see the wonders of the pyramids, which was done by a few physical, sadistic, egoistic men. And they invested tens of thousands of slaves. Who knows how many people died for nothing. Just to show they should be a better site for themselves. And you go to travel to see them. And you just watch your little finger, just watch your eyeball, just watch at your little baby. Look, what's going? Ignore that you don't see. Why do you have to? You don't have to go out to see who knows what. Any little thing. Especially which is going to tell now, Minatoivis Alodom. That's a very the goodness which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always doing to us. The more you're going to look in all the signs of the Chochma in creatures, mina achdus, the unity in this world. Enemim lotim liyaz bam lo odam, afmet el sakavonis takon. Eventually, anything that you see in this world, and if you trace them, why it's here and what it's doing or what it's accomplishing, you couldn't help but it's always is going to lead you to one thing. It's going to always show you. Everything has been made for the benefit for the Tikkun Adam. Everything has been made for the benefit for the advantage of the man. Ela, however, shiktosam gluim. Some of them you see openly there for the benefit of man. Shiktosam gluim. Some of them we don't see. Umehem. Let's evaluate first one simple thing, which is the most obvious thing. Ha'or v'achoshech. Light and darkness. Kita alasor. The benefit of lightness. Nicholas and yes, everyone sees. Everyone knows what's the benefit of light. Everyone realized that. Because it's light, you could go, you could do, you could create, it's life. Achachoyshev. But what is the benefit of darkness? Taloysa nelomas. The benefit of that you don't see, it's concealed. Because many people wander in them. Because people, what is darkness good for? When if sokim asem, people cease to work with noisom bevoyoy. As darkness comes, the mobility stops. People go to sleep. Lule cheshes salayla. So we don't realize what's the goodness. However, lule cheshes salayla. If there wouldn't be the darkness of night, for your goof erof balachim, the bodies of most creatures, kolim, they would totally be destroyed. Basmodas yigiosam v'amolam v'oirech niosam. On the continuation of the toe and work and movement, the running, people would just burn out. Creatures, animals, all the physical living beings in this world, we would just simply burn out if there wouldn't come the darkness of night, because they would have keep moving and moving them. Every belayla by night, your body tassos no mixtos, a true night, you could see the difference between one time to the other. Time is coming into the concept. There's a different time. Boy, you've got the asmani. We know the time when it's day, when it's night. Anyway, do which wouldn't know. Oyrechem echaim ekzelus, and wouldn't know how long you lived out. Years and days and months and weeks, all of them is being counted through day and night. Day and night. You erevei boiker, you mechad, you sheni. It's erevei boiker. If the creation would have been all of us in one forum, no mitzvahs would have been depending on time, because Shabbos is like Shabbos, Kamiyadim, and Halas, Ketzaymus, and fasting. There would be no timing by people. There would be most of the things which is depending on time. Not even the food would be properly digested in a man's intestines if there would have been no timing. If the show Adam Tzorichl Arbalayla, a man would have needed the light at night time, Lassus Baktos Mas, he has to work in it, he has to be a companion to sick men. So we need night. However, sometimes people have to function at night. For instance, sick men have to be taken care of. So Kodesh Baruch had created a substitute light. He made this fire. Heavenly Abayim and Koymite, Kodesh Baruch Hu replaced a substitute for the light, which is neither Mo'oid Ho'esh, the light of fire. The Shtamish boy should use it belayla by night, B'chol Eish Yitzah as he needs it, V'chabei B'chol Eish Yitzah, because you could turn him off as when you want. So we see Kodesh Baruch Hu brought down darkness for the benefit of the man, but at the same time, he also gave him a substitute light. But no matter how dark it is, if you need light, the flashlight, you have it. I mean, Atema, and also one of the wonders is in this world. The color of the sky are the colors which is strengthening the eye visibility of a man. The color of the sky is really more lighter. I call lighter, tinting. Tempting to darkness, to black, blue. And the koyichav yucholas has a special energy, a special power, shemekavetz orenayim achaskoy, which is reinforcing and strengthens the light of our eye. The Chavis says, the light, the eye, the vision of our eye is being strengthened by the natural sky color. They go in a nice, beautiful daylight. The daylight is the most healthiest light for the eye. Now, what is the daylight? The daylight is a certain combination. It's white, it's light, but has a certain tending to darkness, has a certain blueness in itself. And this is adjusted differently in the morning, in the noon, in the afternoon. It's always adjusted. It's like a focus, which is the benefit of the healthy vision of a human being. If the sky would have been absolutely white, when mazik le'ene balachayim, it would have really destroyed, would have damaged the eyes of the living creatures, imachlishan, would have weakened them. This is only one. Look at all the other wisdom which is instilled in all the other creatures. For the great goodness, for the Kodesh Baruch Hu mentions some moiro al sharachayim zikim. Look, for instance, how all the other living creatures are afraid of man. Kodesh Baruch Hu had instilled a certain respect and fear in living creatures vis-a-vis man. Moshe Nehmer, like the Pasuk says, Merachem v'chitchem, your shiver and your fear, yel kolo chai, so this will be on all the animals of the world, all the birds, and all the little small creatures, even the fish be yet coming to turn, everything will be given over to your hand. Why? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, we made that. Kedei she'atinek butiach, the little infant, the little child, should be shul min ha'chosu, from the cat, va'achbar, from the mouse, ha'goyimelot. You see, a small little infant baby, as long as the infant baby is alive, living creatures are afraid. If a mouse will run away, a cat will run away, they will not harm him. The same thing, the same, because she'odah mess, the minute the person dies, could be as big as Oig Melech HaBoshan, says the way, could be the biggest giant. In any material by him, it's not the short at all. Mice will eat him, worm will eat him up, animals will kick him. Moshe Omer Rav Hussein Zuchem Veruchem, Tinek Ben Yayim Mechai, a little infant is day old life, and it's for Shomer and Achver. You don't have to watch him from mice and rats. They will not harm this living creature. Oig Melech HaBoshan mess. The giant oik should be dead, so if we have to watch him for mouths. Now we do see for what are afraid all the animals, all the creatures, from the life of a person, not from the physical part of the person. Now they really don't know how should this mouse know what is life. Maybe the man is sleeping, he's in a coma, but no, as long as the man has life in himself, there's a certain respect to this living man, and mice wouldn't just go and bite into this person. The minute he's dead, immediately he's there to bite. You also have to understand to analyze all the creatures from the above and from below, from the smallest to the biggest. All the concealed things which is in Seder HaKov HaShlamosai, all the Seder, the organization which is in it, and the completion, the Shlemus which is in it. You can't understand it with your physical, material senses. Thus is, what is it? Hatznua, the movement of the Vekelochal Mechubar, which is attached to every creature. There's a certain movement in the world, which every creature in this world creates a certain movement. And you don't recognize what the benefit of that movement in the world is. It's not something which is tangible. Ve'ina chushma chushma gashmi, those are not senses from the physical senses. Masigoisa could understand. You can't see it with your eyes, with your hands, you can't smell it. Achasechel Masigoisa, however, your intellect could understand it. And when Tzois Hana, Ashisigeh Achushim. And through the methods of the movements which you could comprehend, through your senses. Lule Atznua, if there wouldn't be movement in this world, Lo Hoysa Nigmere Sabo Shum Dover Miram Tzois or Efsedom. Nothing would be complete and nothing would move. In other words, if there would be a world of a total vacuum of movement, a standstill world, no energy, the whole world would fall apart. There's energy in the air. What is the energy? There's certain movement. If you don't see, don't sense it. You see, when you take a glass and try to totally suck it out from any kind of oxygen, any kind of air, there's absolutely a standstill, dead thing, it will explode. Cannot exist. Air has energy in itself that you have this, how do you call it, all kind of the oxygen and the thermogen and all kind of things, and all those are combustible, all of this are making certain energies, certain movements. Today you could see with the telescope, with the microscope, you could see the little bacteria, so you see unbelievable movements going on in this world. Now this all this little things, how do you call it, bacteria and all the things, those are needed, it's not, they're healthy. Only with that the meal becomes yogurt, for instance, and the food develops, and people develop, and people move around. Now you don't see it with your senses, it's not something which is tangible. But if there would be a total standstill from tznua, from movement, everything is moving, if there was a standstill of movement, the world could not exist. And in the movement in the world is so well balanced and so accurately adapted to every need, to every maturity, that the more you see it, the more you can't be fascinated. You see the gewaltige Chochmah in the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For Omar Echad, one of the philosophers said, Rav HaTavoyim, most of nature in this world, which is finishing his job, which is Im HaTnua, goes with movement. Without movements, nothing can be established, could be completed. Because Shetobin Sarat Nua, if you will understand the secret in this world of movement, The taskim inyan amitosa, and you will understand the truthness of it. Bruchaniyusa, in the spirituality which is in this movement. We say that you will be convinced, you will know Kihimi Pile Achok is one of the wonders of the wisdom of Elokim. It's godness, it's the wisdom of godness instilled in it. The Takir, and then you're going to recognize Roiv Chemlas HaBoire Albruav, the great mercy of the Creator to His creatures. All this Barer Lecho, then it's going to be proven to you and convinced to you. Ki Kol Tnioi Secho, all your movements, Nikshoros, are tied and controlled the Chifetz HaBoire Salah, with the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Hanagosoi, the way He runs the world, the way He wants it. Haktana v'agdoila, from the smallest movement to the greatest movement, Shubahem, v'agluya v'anisteris, the concealed one and the open ones. Chutz mimarsha sam, everything is in the commandments, in the leadership of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chutz, an exception, mimarsha sam v'reshuscho, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given over totally to your authority, which is v'b'chira chatoi v'ra, except one thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything and anything, except one thing, he let it out from his hand, which is needed to you free choice from good and bad. Obviously, the part of man, but you are his man, is Bechira, free choice. And that's the only thing which he gave over to you. Whatever it is, we're not going to go in on this. Let's Hashem, later on we're going to talk a lot what the Bechira of a man is, to what extent he has free choice. But obviously, whatever free choice is called free choice, free of what? Free of Hashem. You ever thought of it? You say a person has free choice. Free from who? Free of what? Free of Hashem. Since Hashem controls everything, commands everything, in control of everything, does everything, everything goes in desire, and so on and so on. Except one thing which He left over for you, Bechira. Otherwise, Kadosh Baruch Hu retired from one area in this world. He says, He removed Himself. Said, this is not up to me at all. And this is a gift which a man had. That's the greatest gift which man had. This is yours, the Bechira. Bekashi is born. This is one of the greatest Toivis of Hashem. This is one. And by the way, how Bechira works, how does a man? That's one of the greatest Chachma. This is such a Chachma which you don't even understand. All the other things you understand, the way Kadosh Baruch Hu controls the world, that the more you look into with Bechina, with research, with philosophy, you see it. And you see how much good it is for the man. But how Bechira works, that's the greatest stuff. There isn't something more good which Hashem had instilled into this world than He gave free choice for man. He removed Himself from this autonomy. And He says, it's not up to me, it's up to you, man. That's the greatest stuff which man had ever experienced, that he has free choice. Because he is born loch, called love. If all this thing has been convinced to you, Tifkod Atzmocho b'chol tnu shetunu. Tifkod Atzmocho. You're going to evaluate yourself, you're going to count, you're going to take in consideration b'chol tnu shetunu. Tifkod Atzmocho. Tifkod Lashon Pekida. You're going to consider b'chol tnu shetunu and all movements that you move. All of a sudden, movement is not a free thing. As it's going to conclude the Chavis of Ovis, Meir Hashem, the last chapter, Shara Havis Hashem, where he tries to tell us, how does it look, Oved Hashem, Oved Hashem, the one who's always dedicated to Kodesh Baruch Hu, he says, he doesn't make a movement, I feel a tnuah of apov, he doesn't make an eye blink, a man who is totally close to Oved Hashem, without consulting. How, in which shape will it serve a purpose to serve Hashem? And actually, but this is in this word, V'kashet yizbor l'chzer, and all this thing, you're going to see that everything is designed by Hashem, run by Hashem, every movement in this world, tifkoid atzmocho, you're going to consider, you're going to evaluate in yourself, b'chol tenu, and all your movements should tell which you're going to move. It's not going to be just a random movement. Every little move has a purpose. Is choyra kesher, asher kesharuch aboyre bo, and you will remember the tie which Kodesh Baruch Hu had connected you in Him. With boishes from any time, you're always going to be embarrassed of Him. You're always going to be in embarrassment stage of Hashem, because after all, it's almost humanly impossible that we could consider all our movement should be productive, all our movement should be justified. and we do many things, and we say many things, and we go live on many things without any consideration, evaluation. But that, in essence, the more we know that every little thing is an investment of Kodesh Baruch Hu to the utmost of wisdom instilled, and then you just misuse it without anything. You just shoved it around without making advantage. You're going to be embarrassed. What did I do? If you live through a day and you make a cheshma nefesh, how much of today's movements and dance which I've done and functioned, how much of that did I relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And you see, maybe 20%, it's a lot, 30%, even 50%, what's with the other 50%? Totally ignored. Hashem is busy with you, planning you, conducting you, running you, designing you in every second and everything, and you neglected 50% of it, not even think about it, not even utilizing it. How embarrassing is this? Now, the more you buy, the more you see the Ashgocha Pratis and every little thing and everything, Kulam B'chokma, see everything is the Chokma of Hashem, and I could have been that Oy of Hashem, as the Chokma of Shavuos concludes, that he doesn't make a movement without consideration, consultation, and finding in the Rosh Hashem without talking about it. Now, when we, unfortunately, live through our life, not utilized at all these beautiful things, we're always in a stage of embarrassment. We miss Boshev, we're always Hashem. We see Roy, so you're going to be always afraid of him. We see Moser Medinoi, you're always going to be naturally be given over to his judgment. You're always going to be accepting his gezeiros. You're never going to feel shortchanged. You're never going to feel Kodesh Baruch Hu like neglecting you. Because we always indebted so much to him that he always overpays us and is always more good to us than we deserve. And that's the right Elohim. Real man, pious man is, always feels that Hashem does much more to him than he deserves. And anytime things doesn't go good, he's not complaining. It's no wonder. It should have been much worse. No matter how many bad things happen, says, I'm getting away with murder. There's 100% of life should be utilized. I'm not utilizing not even 10, 20, 30%. The Mele, through this type of method, through this type of evaluation, you're going to eventually, you're going to reach to his desire. You're going to go grow and grow and grow more desire. You ain't going to be for good. The one who trusts and relies on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chesed Yisoyim Veno. Chesed is always, he's always surrounded. Now what does it mean? Abateach Hashem, the one who's relying on Hashem, Chesed Yisoyim Veno. Kindness is surrounding him. Does it literally mean is a change in life? Take some people who are not Abateach Hashem at all, and you look at them, you see everything goes good with them. Their panosa, family, everything is fine. The same time, take another person, he's Boteach B'Hashem. And there's nothing in compared to the other one who's not Boteach B'Hashem. But David Melch still says, this Boteach B'Hashem is surrounded with Chesed, the other person is not surrounded with Chesed. But you look at it, see the other person. Chesed is not the physical, the surrounding which you are with, the way you look at it. Chesed is what you recognize in it. But Boteach B'Hashem, the one who lives with reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wherever he looks, he sees Chesed. What is that? Because he feels undeserving. He feels not coming. And then you breathe air, you're living. Ah, it's a chesed Hashem. I don't deserve living. I don't deserve having an Hashemah. I don't utilize them properly. The more you b'teach Hashem, you see everything is run by Kodesh Baruch Hu, conducted by Kodesh Baruch Hu. You see every second Hashgocha Pratik Kodesh Baruch Hu is busy with you. Ba'ato Hashem Rabbikim, you preserve the Hashem in me. And you look, how much are you paying back? What do I do back with it? How much do I register all this communication which Hashem communicates with me? How much do I give back to him? And you know that you're not even giving 50 or 60 or 70% back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And you are alive, you still eat your food, you're still healthy, you still have something. But every look is chesed. Whatever you don't see good, no wonder. Even this is chesed. However, somebody is not Boteach B'Hashem, does not live this life, no matter how much good he has, he doesn't see the chesed of Hashem. He always being shortchanged, he always complains. He has $100, wants $200, has $1,000, wants $2,000. He's never, never satisfied. Now, it's not the physics surroundings makes considers it chesed, not chesed. Your attitude, the way you look at life. And a beautiful person, the more boyfriend you are, the more you see Hashem with you, you always see the chesed of Kodesh Baruch Hu. So always are in love with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're never in a complaint. You're never in a stage of complaining. You should look in the things in this world, always look in the end of the things which is which comes in discussion with Lenin. You know, many times they see things happening to us, you don't know what for. You don't know what for. Things all of a sudden, you know, when they say, when it rains, it pours. All of a sudden, from all ends. And you know, you don't know the solution now. You don't know what's good is going to come out. But you know from past experience, in the end, everything is really good. You know, in the end, things are good. Now, it's a very practical way of living. I always have this situation, but all of a sudden something comes up with a big disappointment. I think the opposite than you expected. And all of a sudden, see, things doesn't, no way goes the way you expected to go, you wanted to go. And it's coming with such a wow, which unbelievable, waves after waves from all ends. The good thing is to do, sit, stay back, say, no, let me see what Hashem is now planning to do. I know in the past life, I used to go through many times this thing, in the end I always understood, and always, now I know what came out of it. If this thing would have happened, this thing would have happened. All of these things usually is producing something, surprises, to the benefit, to the good. And you could always see it from your past life. You don't see it in the present. You always see in the past, all this, when you look back 10 years again, the same situation, and how it worked out, everything was for your benefit. So if you remember that, so now also when things are striking you, without understanding you, with surprises, you always have to know, you know, you're convinced that this something, Baruch Hashem, very beautiful things are going to come out of it now. The Sira Ben Pliya Gedoy, you're going to see great wonders. Many things come on us forcefully. We don't want them. We even fight them back. But for Shevach Achrisom, and it's beautiful in the end. You see how beautiful, how beneficial it was. Sometimes a person loses a job, loses his work, and is penniless. And he complains, he doesn't know, he's getting devastated, he doesn't know how he's going to survive. And then out of desperation goes out, he starts watching what he could do, and no job is available. Of course, he can't get a job to make a salary, but you have to make ends meet today. Today you have to make a good, once was easy, you could live with $200-$300. To make $200-$300, you know, maybe became a delivery boy you could make. Once it was possible to be a simple worker, man, and you made a living. Today, can I know with you in the family? To pay your bills and everything, the taxes and everything. You can't, no way can you make it. You have to make $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 to make a living. You gotta work your head off 24 hours a day, no matter what you're gonna do. You can't never make it. And he looks at it like Chassid Shalom, he comes to an end. But then out of desperation, you have to make a living, although some crazy business is being suggested. Crazy, collecting rags and selling paper, shoving paper, or whatever. And the paper is called bonds or stacks, doesn't matter, but it's still paper. It's worthless, absolutely worthless. It's worthless. It's like I say, a candle without a wick, it doesn't burn. One sells it to the other, second to the third, to the fourth, ever increasing the price. So what is it supposed to be? A candle. But it can't burn, so it's like, why do you buy it? Why do you care if it burns or not? Somebody cares will pay for it more than I paid, I sell it. And here's somebody else. Oh, wait, the last one is get stuck with it. You know, he's getting actually paper that was uncollectible paper. And you realize you could never work from physical work. You couldn't from the farming. You couldn't make a living. And selling rubbish, selling toilet paper, you're making a living. It's not even good for a toilet paper. It's not usable even for that. It's only imagination. It's nothing. And the what is printed on the paper is bluff. And who is behind it? The signature is worthless. the signature, the one that signs this is stuck in the bond is less worth than a piece of paper that he's signing on. He's misusing the paper. But why is this paper made? A lot of offices, a lot of people make a living out of money circulating. Who is going to be in the end stuck with it? When Mashiach will come, everything going to blow up. We're going to see one big zero. I say, believe them, big zero. We circulate it to one big zero. And all of this, you only see it in the end. You only see in the end that we lived on nothing, and you see the Sheva, the praise of it, only see in the end. Ubehefer. Kvaneimar. And in the contrary, it has been said already, Kechavura achas moivri drochim. Once a group for those people who travel, they went to a group traveling, and they stopped at the wall and they lay down to sleep at night. You know, they used to travel and used to stop the caravan, and there was a wall there, well, to be protected from rain or something. And they lay down, they went to sleep underneath that wall, beside that wall. Bok Kelef, Vishnu Achadman, came a dog and urinated to one of them. The dogs usually go to the wall and urinate. And this man was sleeping there next to the wall. So he woke him up. He urinated on him. When he woke up, And it was very unpleasant. The Kami got up, Lilchos, to wash himself off from the Nashete. Has to wash himself off from the urine. He says, ah, this ugly dog wakes me up, urinates me, and he forced him to get up to wash himself off. And as he departs from his friends, the other friends, they were sleeping, nothing happened to them. They were not that lucky, the dog came to them. So they were sleeping, and he envied them, look at those sleep, they're not being disturbed. And in the middle of the night, he has to wake up, and he has to run away to the river to wash up from the urine. And as he departs from the wall, goes away, the wall collapsed under others, the mason, they died. When he told him he has been rescued, who could he thank? He thanks the urine of the dog. This dog urinated him, saved his life because of that. Now, when it happened, while it happened, he was extremely angry, disappointed, and blaming and grudging, you know, middle of the sleep, he's tired, and what his dog is doing to him. But in the end, he sees that sometimes this end is not immediately that he should be able to thank the dog. Sometimes the end could come on 40 years later, 50 years, or sometimes when you died, and then you realize all these complaints, all this discomfort which you had in your life, you didn't see the end to thank. So when these things happen, like the person runs to catch a plane and he has a big business deal to do and he got into a traffic jam and he missed the plane in front of his nose, the plane is leaving and he's devastated, and then he heard the plane has a crash. And then many times these things are happening, or the opposite, sometimes very pleasant thing is happening, and it was the catastrophe of the man that just happened. So we always have to look at the future in order to appreciate the present.
Continue Daf Kuf Kof Hey. Minagodol, we continue in Shara Bchina. Minagodol Shebedorim Shirach Lichon Behem, the greatest thing which you have to look into is Klilas Matnas Elokim, Matnas Elokim. Overall, gifts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu overall is gifting the Baruch Chaim for animals, the Tzemach, Adoma. The three elements. Balachai means animals, and for the growing, for the vegetation of the world, Adoma is the earth, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously serves them and gives them. Kekshomim be'isa tzairich aleihem, the rain at a time when it's needed. Ve'iridosam be'itam, and it comes right in time. Not only gives them rain, which is a great gift, but the timing of the rain. Kama shomer akosu, like the Pasuk says, Yermia, Yesh behavle hagoyim, Makshimim, is there in the stupidity of the goyim, in the gods of the goyim, in the idols which they worship, the nations, are the idols makshimim which they give rain? Ima shemayim yitnu revivim, does the heaven drops water as needed? Choloi atahu Hashem Elokeinu, you are the only one, Hashem, our God. In the Kabbalah, we're the only one we could look forward to you. Ke'atos is called, only you are doing the whole thing. All the idols by all the nations is the one who could claim that he gives rain, and how he gives the rain in time and in the measurement. Only you are the one who gives. So Omar, and further he says, V'loi Omri Balvovam, I wish they would say in their hearts, Nira Nais Hashem Elokeinu, let's fear God our God, Hanois and Geshem, which gives rain, Yoire Umalkosh, gives Yoire means the storm rain, Umalkosh, the weaker rain, the rain which doesn't come with such a storm, and which is exactly measured according to the needs of the earth. It's not only the miracle of rain, the way it comes down, but also the sortation of rain, the way it rains in the desert, the way it rains in areas everyone gets his different types of rain. Shvuos, Chukos, Kotzer, Ishmalonu, Kadosh Baruch Hu is also preserving the seasons of the rainy seasons at a time when the time comes of harvest is different, at the time comes of plantation is different. Is there anyone else who matched us? Seems a kosher magdal nyonim oy. You see, the posuk is magnifying the means and the details of the rain to magnify that there's a lot of chokhmah in it. But Amalek, when the posuk says oyse gedoylois ve'en cheke, because Baruch Hu makes great things which you can't research, and he flows other mis for wonders that you can't count. If you should be able to take one rain and analyze them in detail, you see every drop has its address, every drop has its measurement, weight falls, and it's unbelievable the multiple miracles which takes place in just in one rain. On the face of the earth, sends water down to the streets, in order to elevate low part to high. And poor people, which became dark, reach help. Koidrim means kador, means to become black. Poor people who got blackened from hunger is sogvu, to reach yesha, hope, help. Umina tema, and one also which you could, one of the wondrous things which you could see, b'siva samazoyinos min azroim. You could see the results, how Kodesh Baruch Hu is feeding the world from the type of seeds. Ki gargir echad, one seed might elevate yoiser, will multiply more to thousands and more. Kishinotsum in avkoim, if it will be preserved from any devastation. A seed you put into the ground, it goes into endlessness, to millions of millions. If one seed comes out, a whole orchard, and then it's reef, fertilizes reef. You could find in one seed of wheat, shloish mei shibolim. One seed you could find come out 300 of shibolim. I don't know how to say in English shibol. Is stalks. If a whole shibol is in every stalk, it's more than 20 seeds. It's actually 20 times 300. It's about 6,000. For one seed, comes out 6,000 seeds. And in Tzilonis Gedol, we find big trees, Ashi Shiroshom Gargirechot, which hold the root, comes from one seed. The Gidl Echot, one growth. The Gidl Echot, Moed Alakosh, and becomes hardened and grows up a big tree with a big trunk, Ashi Zuchat Mina Kefel. As I mentioned, just like I mentioned by the seed, it multiplies into 6,000. So is also, imagine, all the fruits which is coming out from one seed is even more than 6,000. Ishtabach HaChocham, if you will all realize that. Now, this is one thing, the fact that from one seed so much come out. But who preserves it? It says, Kishinotzel min abgoyim. If they're going to be watched, they shouldn't be destroyed before it comes into multiplication. It's a medrash, very beautiful medrash this. I didn't find the root, I didn't find the source of medrash, so it brought it down. That we know that every Bria, every creature in this world is praying to Hashem. Everyone has a nefesh, has a certain spiritual presence himself, which is praying to Hashem. It says the farmer goes out and plants, throws seeds on the ground. The seed from the day one, as the farmer goes out, is praying. The first thing he's praying, Hashem help me, that the farmer shouldn't lose me somewhere on the way, on the rocky spot, and just in his pocket or in the bottom of the sack, and should be thrown away. I should really have the schus, the privileges. I should be grounded in a well fertilized ground, and I should be able to grow. That was his first prayer. Then, when his prayer has been answered, finally landed in a nice fertilized ground, and it's being set over there in the ground, then he's praying a wish that no mouse, no any other worms, no other any animal should come and eat me up. Birds should come and eat me up, pick me up before I have a chance of rooting in. Then, that prayer has been answered, finally starts rooting in, starts growing, then of course he's praying there shouldn't come any bacteria, anything which should spoil it. If that happens, then he's praying every time his winds, the wind shouldn't just uproot him and fly away. Again, he's going to get lost. This is being answered, finally starts growing and growing, then continues to get every time when he comes at a pega, any kind of devastation, any kind of things, he's always praying he should be saved, he should be able to go on and continue to grow properly. Finally it grew up, the sun shouldn't burn him away. Then comes the time of harvest. The farmer comes and starts cutting, then again he's praying he should be cut and he should have the schus to get into the bundles where it is, he shouldn't get lost somewhere. And then finally got that, he should get into the silos, you know, he shouldn't be lost on the way. Finally got that, how many praises he's putting in. Finally he's being taken to the mill where he has to be grounded to make flour of him. Again, he has to pray that he should be ground and his flour should be counted for, he shouldn't get lost somewhere, and then he's being sifted, he should be sifted fine, he should become a good product, he should become a product for the consumer. Then finally he's finding himself in the shelf on the supermarket, in the bakery, wherever he is. Then he's praying, I should be used for consumption of food, I shouldn't be used for pastry, for glue, for other commercial things. People should have the maximum benefit of my. Finally he received, that answer has been prayed, that people buy him, you know, to bring him into the house. Then he's praying, he should come into a Jewish home, he should make the proper food for it, food, the justified food, just not just the pizza for the sake of just, you know, sitting in a, should be eaten in a street corner in a pizza shop. You know, she's coming in a home, a respectful, dignified home. Finally, gets into a club, and he's praying, I wish I should be coming not in a noodle or something, I should come in bread, and make a moitzelech in the oris, on a bench on it. At least that. He gets that. So then he's praying, I wish I should be in a Shabbos table, it should be a challah, it shouldn't be a bread middle of the week. Finally, he gives God that. He gets, turns into a challah on a Shabbos table. And then, he wishes he should come into a person who really could appreciate, who could make a moitzin into a kavona, he could mention a kavona on it. He even gets that. And then the man is too busy. He blabbles down the moitzin, he doesn't even think what he's saying, and blabbles down the bread. And then he says, benching, he doesn't even think what he's saying. You kill that little wheat. He put in millions of tefillahs. He went through millions of miracles until he was reached to the point where you reached, where you came, and you just killed him. Just, you know, so you're a murderer. Just, you know, you have the bread on the table. Imagine how many. I remind this whole medrash because, as the Chovei Surah says, when you look at the miracle, it says that when you see ki gargir echot, one gargir, one seed, moitz eleve yoiser, more than 1,000. Because she not so minab goyim. And he should be saved from all the things which could happen to him. How many miracles he goes through until he reaches his destiny? But all of this is chesed. All of this is chesed. Now here man comes, and all the chesed that Hashem had done to this gargir, and you could ruin it just like with the apathy, just doing nothing. Ishtabach ha-chocham. Praise should be the chocham ha-choinim, which gives wisdom, amsabev la-avoyis ha-dvorim ha-gdoilim, which brings causes for all the existence. These great things. Minaktano v'achalusha shebesivos, from the smallest and the weakest of all the causes. Kodesh Baruch Hu should be praised. You see, there's the same big, great Hashem, which created the whole world and gave us the Torah and the whole Am Yisrael, which is greatest intentions. The same Hashem, Kaviyochol, is busy feeding and hearing all the prayers of this little one seed. And is busy accompanying him and accommodating him, all his needs. Omar Kasha, Omar Kodak Posik says, Veloi nitkenu alilos. All the happenings is to him. Everything is accounted to him. This is as far as the seed. Let me go achat trofim amiyuchodim l'ishu min achayim. Let me look in atrofim, the food, the feed, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu specializes feeding l'ishu min achayim, all the individual kinds of creatures. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually spoon feeding every individual little creature in the world, and it prepares for everyone his and her type of food. Rabbi Mispor, it's endless. A chocham, the smart man, Kashi's boy in is going to look into the way everything is designed. Just like, imagine a mother is taking care of a little infant baby, and knows exactly how to bottle the baby, and how to pamper the baby, and to nurse the baby, and everything. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochol is pampering and bottling and feeding every little ant, any little mosquito, any little fly, any little bird, any little creature. There's in the multi-millions of types of different creatures, and everyone has a different style of need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu all designed it, fitting the nature with the supply, and the way they, and they all grow, and all behave, and all being maintained, all with great chesed. Chesed keil kol hayom, the chesed of Hashem is the whole day. Wherever you look, you see chesed of Hashem. Because Kodesh Baruch Hu makes nothing should suffer. I mean, everything has set up in such a way. And you analyze the slightest little thing, see how much chokhmah, how much wisdom. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't jalave. How do you say it in English? It wasn't stingy. Kodesh Baruch Hu was not stingy to invest his most beautiful wisdom in chokhmah and patent in the smallest little thing as it would bank in the biggest thing. You wouldn't see more investment of wisdom and more focus in the constellations, the most important part of the world. There's not more investment of wisdom in calculations and design than you see in the smallest little insignificant thing in this world. the most insignificant things in the world, you see just as much Chochmas Hashem and care of Hashem and Chesed of Hashem as you see in the Molbi. See, but human being, like Kaviyoch Lehavdol, is always different. A big important thing, you focus, you do everything. Small insignificant thing, you don't make such a big planning. If you wouldn't find any little thing unbelievable design. But Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no such a thing. In the contrary. You could even see more Chochmah, more design, and more care in the most insignificant thing than you can see in the biggest thing. And not maybe because there is so much, it's because we ignore it. Because all the biggest things usually we focus on, and we try to understand, and we analyze them, we have a certain capacity for understanding what Hashem does, to a certain extent. Like a Kodesh Baruch Hu behaves with people, bitochen and shtavlus, all the Hashgacha Pratis which we do see. But when we start looking in, if we could only trace, you know, Shlomo Melech did it, but we would only trace an end from the day he was born, and how long does he live? A few months. So everything which goes through with the end, the way he builds with his friends, his place, and the way he collects his food, and then the way he goes through all those things. He analyzed the miracles which has happened, this little thing, the design that which is accompanying this little end, and said, no way less than we go through in our life, if anything, even more. It's all designed and all there and all managed. And all is done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chochem Kashi is boiling by him, because the Chochem, the person who will look into the Yovin Siboisa, will understand the causes and the effects. Yakir will recognize Chochmes Machsheves HaBoiris Arabem, the wisdom which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had put into, the thoughts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the investment of Hashem, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed it and put it in. Valeim Omer David on this, the said David HaMelech, Kulam Elecho Yisabeiru. All the creatures, all the beings in the world, to you the hope. All look up to you. Lo says Achlam be'itoy, that you give their food in their time. What does it mean be'itoy? It says Kulam is a lo sheravim. Be'itoy is an individual, his time. Kulam, all of them, elecho to you, Yisaberu, the hope for the food. Lo says Achlam, giving their food, be'itoy, in his time. What is be'itoy? Pshat is, not only Kodesh Baruch Hu supplies everyone's food, but he also watches everyone's timing, when and how and where. Kodesh Baruch Hu is feeding him. Like a mother will know, he just ate 3 hours ago, 2 hours ago, it's not good enough. Let's cry the baby because it's too much for you. I know it's not good for you. You have to cry for other hours, then you're going to get food because I give you now, then you're going to overeat and calculate it's not good. The little baby cries, but the mother doesn't give the food. Now, if you see a nice giving mother taking care of infants, and the infant cries, you don't condemn the mother that she's brutal, that, you know, starving the baby, because the mother knows what to do. The baby, unfortunately, cries because the mother will feed after an hour again. You know, the baby will get cramps and let the baby cry. So sometimes we see starvation, sometimes we see animal suffering, sometimes we see food is not available for them, something. Sometimes you may have a kasha, what's happening? Why is Hashem making this poor animal suffering? But he tells, it's missing his time. Kodesh Baruch Hu is calculating every individual exactly. Kodesh Baruch Hu is feeding everyone. But he also says, Achlam, Kodesh Baruch Hu, be itoy, in his time, in his little creature's time, and he needs it, way he needs it. So you don't understand, you can't communicate with the situation. But just like a baby, you wouldn't condemn the mother when you see the baby cries for food, because you know the mother knows what she's doing, letting the baby cry. You know, don't complain about Kodesh Baruch Hu when you see things are happening, and all of a sudden you see little flies or animals are dying out or some kind of a thing, so they're starving and they're dying. It's all needed because one is a food for the other. Kodesh Baruch Hu all designs them. That's the itoy.
Question, why shouldn't the yeshivas have intensive science classes with the Reish Kapha? Because someone with a secular education, about Shuba, you know, maybe learn these things and can really appreciate it, but the yeshivas, you know, not, you know, through their science books, but just, you know, the Bible of the Boire, or...
I have it in Sharab Chinev. I learned science classes in Sharab Chinev, so it's enough. It's enough. Because you could see, unfortunately, in today's times, you get so much credit to say, there's a saying, you don't see the forest because of the trees. What is the meaning? You know what's the meaning? Explain me, what does it mean? You don't see the forest because of the trees.
You don't see the big picture.
You don't see the message of the picture because you're busy focusing on the trees. The whole world today is busy focusing on the science, on this and on this and this and this. Show me who came, who concluded from here seeing the overall picture of the tree. None of them. Avraham Avinu was the one. you have to, because when you learn secular science, and a secular thing doesn't lead you nowhere. It's being introduced in such a way that if this thing could be introduced into evolution, into all kind of, it doesn't lead you to the truth. Now, you'd been traitor. Now, it's more dangerous to go to learn a secular science, the way they represent them, and causing, and putting in everything in the nature of cause and effect, and where the cause originates, it's evolution of who knows to what, and unfortunately it could mislead or misguide it. I would say in a certain area it's even opposite. You take an innocent man who didn't learn all the stupidities, all this, the theories, learn Chavis Salvovas, and use your own brain, your own calculation, and start learning science which are around you, like Rabbi Victor Miller explained. Your own science, that's Chavis Salvovas. But when you go to secular science, to learn secular science, which you know internal things, you are much more exposed to the danger learning the details and beauty of science and not the attribute of Kodesh Baruch Hu, because that's what the world does. They ignore the picture, they ignore the forest because of the trees. They're so fascinated with the trees, with the individuality of the structure, and then they give the causes, the same science, give all kind of stupid causes just not to let you come to the conclusion that there is one overall body or we created it. So it's the contrary. You're taking the tools which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had put into the world and use it against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing more dangerous than to learn science from the secular means. Unless you come after the attitude of Torah. Unless you have been Torah, you know it, you commit. But then you don't need it. How many times do you need a proof 2 and 2 is 4? How many times you learn Shtikl Chavis, learn Shtikl Ramban, learn Shtikl Maral, learn Shtikl things? You have a billion times more than you have in the science. This is technical things. This is real technical things.
For children, with the right Hashkafa, look at a tree, look at the ants,
But that you don't need in the secular books that you learn.
That you mean secular books, but science in the
doing
right
it
way.
We don't need more, but you don't need more, the Chavis Salvovas says. It's enough. You have so much wisdom.
Children like Reverend Miller said, take your children out and show them the things.
But you have to take them in. You first have to know how to talk him in before you take him out. That's why I would say, are you finished with yourself inside? Are you giving him the whole background? If you finish, you don't have to take the children out. They're out anyhow. You're very sophisticated. And this is one of the things which I it's very nice. You know, Rabbi Victor Miller doesn't mean take him out who knows where. When you walk Ocean Parkway anywhere, you go to the garden anywhere, you go to the school anywhere, look at the tree, look at this. Don't look at this bum on the street who reads who knows what. Look at the tree. You see that the tree is falling and the way it's fine. It's nice, beautiful. I mean, occupy, but that you have to learn inside. That's what we're doing now. Learn for yourself of us. But as I said, I must admit, me personally, it doesn't impress me at all. Because I'm a million times curriculum Chochmasi, so I see the whole thing. So you see all the shtickle, all the shtickle. Wherever you look, you see Hashem. So you get more inspired. So for me, I will see the Niagara Falls, or say the Grand Canyon, so everything. For me, this is no way more miracle than I see the little tape recorder working. The only thing is the tape recorder is working every day. So you get used to it. Or this little finger is bending, and it's bending in such a way, and it has the senses, it has the touches, and it could. The fact that I'm sitting and talking to you, and we register, this is. To me, the fact that I could talk and I could explain myself, I could verbalize, I could expel one little thinking, is a billion times for me a bigger miracle, a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to see the Grand Canyons. So what's the point of me traveling the Grand Canyons and seeing what's going on there when I see it in my little finger, my little nail? I look at my little infant, I look at my little baby, the way it grows, the way it's being born, the way it's being developed. So what's the point of running there if I don't realize I'm here? And if I do realize I'm here, I'm not finished with the job, Peter, I have to run over there. So wherever you go, you see. I said pshat. And I would say this is the pshat against Rabbi Miller. But this is pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hoyloch b'derech, the one who goes in the way, is traveling. Hoyloch b'derech Torah, and is middle of learning Torah. You go on a plane, sitting and learning Torah. You're learning it after Yom, you learn Torah. Unless you're going the above the Nevada desert. No, suddenly the pilot speaks up, and you see very interesting things here, desert, the way it's gone, the big mountains, the caves, and the gewaldige poem of Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Poisek, and he stops learning. He says, come and know, look how beautiful is this tree. So Chazal tells Baruch Hu, he starts to wonder the Chochmas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a Chayav Nisa. He's going to be die. Why? Because they stopped learning. Why? Rabbi Miller says go out. Rabbi Miller didn't mean to say that. I'm trying to correct. I'm not saying against Rabbi Miller, against the way you understand Rabbi Miller. It does mean stop pshatis. If you're not learning, if you're busy with your business, if you are a farmer, if you're walking in a place you need fresh air and you have to relax a little bit, just don't walk around and look at the world without seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you're not learning, you're looking down the window and it says, Ma Rabu, Ma Sechu Hashem, Kulam Chochmo, Sisa, Sidi, Nevada, Desert, and you see how great are you, Hashem, so and so, fine. But if you learn Torah in the middle of learning Torah, which is, there's nothing compares to that. And then, because you have a chance to see the chesed, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Nevada, then you stop learning and look down there. You have Nisa. Because nothing on the world is comparable to Torah, which is Hem Chayinu, Ve'oire Chameinu. So when you say, let's learn our children, you could be busy all your life in research and all kinds. Yes, if you take this beautiful, well-written, Torah source written science book and keep it in the bathroom, at a time they're not supposed to think on Torah. And instead of reading a newspaper or a magazine of stupidity, which was written by secular writers, which has a bad influence on a person, and you read this type of science, or you read a certain history which went through on Jewish people, which is the Holocaust history, or any Spanish Inquisition, any kind of thing, which you're getting data, and then later when you're learning, you could connect things which happened to Yiddishkeit, yes, then you utilize them properly, you see the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes. But to take our children and deprive them of learning Torah because you have to learn with them science, it's just like stopping. No, we are in the middle of learning Torah. There's no point of teaching them science. I'm not saying girls things like that, but also everything has to be done further. No, I think many people misread Rabbi Miller. They misread Rabbi Miller doesn't mean that you should stop and you should make a special curriculum for that, special for that. It doesn't mean that. It means at a time when you're not in learning, in normal day-to-day time, you're sitting and eating an apple anyhow and relaxing, at least look in the apple in the floor and say, fine, beautiful, that's what the Chavurah says. But it doesn't mean I should make a course in eating apple and watching how the seed falls and where it falls and how it's bringing the color of the apple and the taste and so on. Because this is, we are too busy for more important things than that, and we see the Chesed Hashem without it. And if Oman says Pasecho Sedecho Kosbochu, open your hand, must be Alachol Charotz, and he says it, every living creature his desire. And he also Levar Inyan Zay Yosin Abul even more explains this Bishara B'tochen Be'ez Hashem. We're going to explain even more how Kosbochu is feeding everyone Bishara B'tochen. Agdoy Lashem B'tochen is the greatest of the goodness Shehitev HaKadosh Be'em which abode in order, which a Kodesh Baruch Hu had bestowed goodness, the greatest thing of which a Kodesh Baruch Hu bestowed goodness on a man is, Varoya Chazoka, all of them, the great proof to the man is, what she could further see the greatness of goodness, is a Toiro, and a Sun El Moshe Mer Vashor. You see, even the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Till now mentioned the analyzing all the greatness which Hashem makes with man and animals and things and other things. And the Davos says, Akdoino Shebe Toivet, the greatest Toiv, the greatest goodness, because Baruch had given is the greatest raya chazokol, the greatest proof which points at HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Torah. And the sooner the Moshe will show there isn't something greater than that. Now, if I could prove to you a point which proves you 1,000 degrees, and there's many other points, there's 100 degrees, 50 degrees, 10 degrees, 5 degrees, everything shows it's a certain degree, the proof. But if I have an element of 1,000 degrees and you are immersed in that, what's the point leaving this 1,000 degree proof and going down to a 10 degree proof? So Rabbi Miller's proof of an apple, that is a 10 degree proof. What's the point of closing a Gemara and abandoning Torah, which Torah is 1,000? This is a Torah Shabbatim. This is the Gedolei Shem. V'harei oisu oisus al yoda, and the proof of the science which comes through understanding, learning Torah. V'shanois haminhogim patvoim. How the conduct of a man, in the nature of the man, the way they're being changing through Torah. Torah has the unbelievable power to change the whole characteristic of a man. There isn't a thing which could not be totally remolded and refined. As I always say, when I meet people who have real deep problems, where according to secular psychology, they have no way of proof, no way of changing, like should it be, yes?
Rabbi, where's the plan? Just to say that I should tell you, you can continue a few minutes longer, he's going to be a little bit late today.
Fine. Like, according to secular psychiatry, a real sick homosexual. He has no cure. He has no cure. And I had once a case like that. I remember there was a boy who was a real, real sick in this respect. And he came to me and he was really crying. He says, I would go lost to become a bachu. My heart is all there. But I know I'm a lost person. I could never get married and I'm sick and I'm this and that and there's no cure. And I told him, you're right. In the secular psychology, there's no cure for the bachu Torah, there's a cure. If you make up all Torah, if you take on the yoke of Torah and start learning Torah, you take on the mitzvah of Hashem, you have cure. There's no such a thing. Torah has cure. And today, Baruch Hashem is married and I think has a child already. It took many years, but he's totally, totally cured. Or compulsive gambling, or addiction to drugs, anything. And, you know, there's deep addicted druggists which they brain almost got damaged, and they were terrible. And like all their life, they have to struggle with their addiction, which control with all kind of you have to take this to detoxicate themselves. They have to live all kind of things. When they became real Bnei Torah and they got addicted to Torah, they got intoxicated from their addiction even. So that's what he says, if Shinois Haminogim Vatavoim, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah could deter all the conducts and all the nature and the proof, their deep conviction of proofs, in order to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to believe in his prophets and believe in Moshe, Mirsha Moshe Avdoi. Kmo she'omer like the pasuk, V'yad Yisrael si'ad ha'gdoilo. Yisrael had seen the great hand of Hashem, asher osa Hashem in Mitzrayim, v'kosh Baruch Hu made in Mitzrayim, v'yiru ames Hashem, and the nation, and the ames of feared Hashem, v'yaminu v'Hashem. And they believed in Hashem Moshe Avdoi. It means, there isn't a greater conviction where you could convince a person as through Torah, through the methods of Hashem. As the Pasuk says, the Yav Israel, Israel had seen as Yad HaGdoila, the absolute great hand of Hashem. Now, as much you could see the hands of Hashem in nature, in science, nothing could be seen as much. No Hashem is revealed to that extent as through Torah. One more person, Ato, the Pasuk says, Ato Horeso. You had shown yourself, you had proven yourself, Ludas, to know, Keshem Elokim. Because Baruch is God, in Oyd Mirvada, nobody is outside of God. Now, when I look in science and I see Hashem in this particular thing which I evaluated, analyzed, so I see God in this particular thing, right? But this is not yet proved that this is all over. So see God. So every look you see God, but every don't look, we don't have the proof of the existence of God. But through Torah, but the pasuk says, "Ato horei soladas." You had shown to Atrui, it's the time to matan Torah, to learning Torah. Ato horei soladas. You had proved to us that we should know not only Hashem Elokim, that Hashem is God, because maybe Avraham Avinu discovered it in nature too. But through Torah, in Oid Milvar, there's no exclusion, there's no outside of you. So that's the Gdolei Shevet Torah which comes in Torah. So that again it answers your question: I should go learn science? Fine. So you discovered in science there is God, but what you had not seen, there's no proof yet. So you are a little limited man. How much can you test? How much can you check out in science? So in science, you check out here. Okay, you find Hashem here. You go here, you find Hashem here. Is that yet the proof? So maybe there's somebody else. Maybe there's somebody else. But when you focus on Torah, learn Torah. In Torah, you say, in your outer race of life, Hashem came Einoit Milvad. You learn that there's no outside of you. They say that the Rabbi Yonis, and the world says, he was a very smart kid. Very smart little kid, Bjornson Eibschitz. That's what they say that his father told him when he was a 5-year-old child. So, Bjornson, if I give you a quarter, a ruble, whatever it is, if you show me where he's Hashem. So, Daddy, I give you 10 rubles, to show me where he is not. Show me where he's not. I give you double, show me where he's not. The Einoid, that's a greater proof, and that's the Torah. The Einoid Milvadoi, only Torah could prove. Science will never prove the Einoid Milvadoi. This is it. Because actually, what was Avraham Avinu proved Hashem from science? Wherever he looked, he proved Hashem. What was the gift of Hashem? Ve'er Hashem el Avraham. Hashem came to us. Atorei Soladav. That was the answer. Hitzus ol Balabira. He says, who could be? There must be a master. There must be. Yes, Bira Bloy. Manik is possible. Such a Bira, such a beautiful design, such a beautiful thing. Without a Manik, without a leader, without a boss, without a thing. It cannot be. So he's looking for that Manik. So why didn't he discover the manik? No, he discovered there must be a manik, but he didn't know who the manik is. To me, it's a hitzitz all of Barabira, the Kodesh Baruch Hu came and looked on him. So what was added to Avraham Avinu's knowledge from before? What's the difference before that you reckon there must be Hashem?
But after Hashem came, before it came, when they saw Hashem, whenever he looked, he saw there is a master. There must be a manik. But after when Hashem came to him, he came convinced that there's nothing could be Eloid Milvadah. And this is in Torah Mitzvah. Woman says, Min Hashemah, Mishmiachos, God from heaven, let you hear this voice, Leas Reko, to prove you, while Oris Harachos, Ishoi, on the earth, he showed this fire, Agdoyle, the great fire, the Vorosh Shemato, Vitocha Esh, and he had heard his words outside the fire. Vime Vakashoda Bismana say, if a person today's time would like to, would search, leave us to see Mashadoim in Yomehem. If you want to see today what we saw in Malmat Har Sinai, in Kriyas Yamsuf, if you would like to witness something like that, Yavit, you could witness today what we saw then. Yavit, you should look Be'ein Ho'emes, with the eye of truth. Of Deinu, the way we exist, Be'ein the Umos, between the nations, Be'ez HaGolus, from the time we went to the Golus, the Sidr and Yoreh B'nei, the way we have been settled between them, the way we have been established between them, our existence with the nations, Ima She'onu, even then, Bilti Maskimi M'mor, we totally not agree with him, not the Seisa, not the Golus, not inside, not outside. And the nation knows that, as Homer says, Yeshna Am Echon Fuzan Foyer Beno Amim, there's a nation which is totally dispersed with all nations, and the Minagim, the conduct of life is totally different, and they know it. The Yiri will seek you on your name, you, all our things, Epshashi, Akorim, and your name, and Zayas Betrofim. You could see that our lifestyle may be very close to their lifestyle, in business, how we feed, how we live. Efshia Toiv in your name, it could be even our life is even better than them, not Efshia, but that's actually the case, the Jewish lifestyle and conduct of making business and how it was even better than them. Be'itam el-chomes fatigas, even the time of the wars, even the time when they were suffering the world, the Jews usually always submerge on the top of the Ashleon. But here you would see Abeinanim, the middle class people, Akafrim Shebehem, see the middle class people of the Goyim. See the middle class of the Goy, see the farmer, Kafrim Shebehem, you will see they are much more struggling and working hard between the middle class of us, and the two people of us. Look at the Chayyus uses as a Yerik, unbelievable, beautiful wisdom. He says as follows: if you want to match the conviction and the proof which we had at the time when Hashem came and showed himself, there couldn't be a greater proof as it was Kriyas Yamsuf. There couldn't be a greater proof than it was Matan Torah. There couldn't be a greater proof that you were 4 years in a desert because Hashem feeds you. It's unbelievable, beautiful line. If you want to see today a matching proof that you should be so convinced, and what did he say? What was the proof that Eloid Milvadah? Today you could prove in science there is a God, but they can't prove this, that everything must be God. But over there you saw everything. So everything is God. Do you want to have a matching proof today where you don't see the open revelation of Hashem? You know what is the proof today, says? Look at yourself and your nation as a Jewish nation that we are in Golos so long. And the midst of the Goyim. And you're totally different from them. And they know that you're totally different from them. And try to compare you middle class people and you poor people, the lower class people, with them. And you'll see you're always better off. Also, you always had wars. Also, you always had oppressions, expulsions, and murders. They always killed you. But you still somehow, the Jewish people still. You go to Russia today, after 70, 80 years of Bolshevism, anti-Semitism, and everything, and you look at statistic. They take 100,000 average Russian citizens. They take 100,000 average Jewish citizens. You see, they're well above the lifestyle and everything in settlement. Even they're not religious. And this is all around history. And this is comes to you at a certain... This gives you the closest equal conviction and message as was given you at the time when you went out of Mitzrayim. But then you obviously saw the difference between the Jews. That's the matching thing. And he says very interesting. I don't know why he's not speaking about the higher alpha. He says Beinonim, the middle class people. And the Dalim, the lower class people. He doesn't speak about the high class people. I don't know why. Because, first of all...
The high with the Goyim also, or you can't see much difference. The Goyim, the best, you know...
I mean, you only could see the difference that the Jews are above the Goyim, the Golus, between the middle class and the lower class. But how about the high class? Well, I would say the high class is not even a half a million. What does mean the high class of the Jewish people? What does mean the high class? Or Chas V'Shalom, forget. The high class of Jewish people, they get assimilated. The high class, they live like the high class of a Goy. Like when he came down to Germany,
They say the high class Yid did everything to be like the high class Lagoy, right? But when it came to the middle class, the low class, there you saw the difference. They say that way. I don't know what the high class means. It means physically, the materialistic. You're talking the materialistic mean high class and middle class. You're not talking now in the maturity of Yiddishkeit. You're talking. But obviously, it says you see the middle class and the lower class, which are always above them. And it says further, Kuma Shiftechuni Yotzeiz Lech, as Kodesh Baruch had promised to us. And actually, by the way, all these things is a fact, right? But at the same time, so how do you know, what kind of proof is this? The proof is because Kodesh Baruch had proved it in advance. Kodesh Baruch said in the Torah, Avgam Zoiz, also all this diaspora and the suffering gonna come through on you. Beyoisom, when they're going to be Eretz Oyveim, in the land of the enemy. In between all this teichecha, all these curses and just that's gonna come on you, says Hashem, lo me'astim, lo ge'altim, lo chaloisom, lo febrisitom. I still will not despise them and I will not throw them away totally in order to destroy them, in order to destroy my covenant to them. They're always still gonna be special. So Hashem says, I'm gonna expel you from your country, I'm gonna disperse you all around the world, I'm gonna send you down to the Holocaust, I'm gonna cause you all the suffering, I'm gonna give you all the bad things, every one by one, everything you're gonna go through. But one thing I tell you, if you wanna have a sign, and that's what the Ramban says, Ein loch simen godel yoisim, as says the Ramban, Nachmanides, there isn't a greater proof of the existence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the conduct of a Kodesh Baruch Hu with Am Yisrael. If you want to have, and this is what the Chavis of Oversight said, which was 300 years before the Ramban, the closest matching evidence in our times of today to the times when we left Mitzrayim, when it was absolute obvious the specialty of the Jewish people, where Kodesh Baruch Hu conducts his day-to-day things direct with the Jewish people, keeping them in the desert, feeding them, and so on and so on. The closest matching proof to that is, look the way you exist in Golus. You are in Golus for a long time and you're different, and the Goyim know you're different, and you're still better off than the Goyim. You're still better off than the Goyim. And the post said, Abgam Zois, even all the Golus is going to come through on you, but you should know the Eretz Aveim, you're going to be in the land of your enemies, because that is going to be your proof that the way Kodesh Baruch Hu. I always say we all know what it means to Shabbos Goy. You know what the Shabbos Goy is, yeah? You have Shabbos Goy. You ever heard of an expression of a Christian Jew? Never find a Christian Jew. We were never Christian Jews. We were never Meshamshem. We always have Goyim cleaning our shuls, our bathrooms, our kitchens, our yeshivas. You ever saw a religious Jew working in a church cleaning their bathrooms? Yes, a little while in Germany, did this and this. But as a style, you ever find a Christian Goy, a Christian Jew, that the Jew had to be a servant to Goy to make the things which he's not allowed to do? Yeah, I always tell the story, which is Boaz is coming a little later, calls. So he said, I always tell the story that in Vienna there was a Jew was sitting at a Shabbos table with his family, singing and eating like a little king, and she's a queen, and the children like a Shabbos table should look. And there was the Shabbos Goy sitting there and making fire, putting wood on the fireplace to make sure that the Jew should be good warm winter. And this Goy was envying, was angry. Look at this Jew sitting in our country. He's a little king. Look. And I'm his servant. I'm making fire for him. Should be warm. And then like he was burning up from anti-Semitism. Look at this. Okay. So the Jew was singing Zmiris. He came to sing Korban Olam. And had a little few cups of wine. It was an emotion. So came to the phrase of Troika Sona Chutzim Arevoso. Redeem your sheep from the mouth of the lion. So he got crying a little bit. He started crying. He reminded himself, the Golos, the Jew. And he cried. And all of a sudden the guy looks at him. Here's the guy. He's ending at him. And then here he is. And all of a sudden he's already crying. He's like, so what are you crying now? What are you crying? Could you just see you? What are you missing? So he was in a puzzle. So what is it? And then all of a sudden he thinks, well, further. He's laughing further. So after the meal, he says, he must tell me. What is going on here? What are you crying? What happened? He says, I tell you, we had a B'Samigdash, was Chorovin, and Golos, the man himself was crying. He says, you know what, Jew? Look, I'm ready to exchange with you. You take my fireplace, I'm going to take your Golos. Let's say, I take your Golos, you take my fireplace. This is Golos. This is one of the strongest proofs.
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגידי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגידי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגידי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@kol.com.